Fantasy freaks and geeks, what's up? We welcome you in to the NFL Fantasy Live podcast. James Coe here with you, joined alongside by the pride of West Virginia. We have Matt Harmon in the building. What's up?
Oh, James, what's up, man? Happy Star Wars Day.
Happy Star Wars Day.
Is that what today is?
Well,
is that what we're doing?
We are doing Star Wars tonight.
Okay.
Are you coming?
I am not coming.
Well, of course, because you're dad.
I am.
You have a child to take care of.
Actually, instead of Star Wars, I get to go and watch my daughter's winter concert.
Oh, damn, God. Dude,
that sounds awesome. Like,
I'm
what
jealous.
Is that? What is that? Like a singing concert?
It's a singing concert. Nice. For a bunch of 4-year-olds.
Do we have
preschool.
To buy tickets to this? Can we skip Star Wars?
Yeah. Can we go pregame and then go to check this out?
I may pregame, but
you may pregame.
I may pregame. My wife may not be happy with me, but we'll see.
Maybe.
Why are you drinking straight from that growler? Don't worry about it, babe. Here we go. We got the whiz kid from Wisconsin, Alex Gellhart. What's up, man?
Not too much. That just reminded me of a time when a friend of hers was in like a local Torrance production like that.
Yeah.
It was just somebody wanted to put it on. They did a small theater. She's like, hey, you guys want to come and like support my friend and see this? We're like, yeah, all right. So we had got like dinner and had a drink beforehand. It was like 4 of us. And then we were like, let's get some small liquor bottles and like some Cokes.
Perfect.
Just in case this thing is a train wreck. And it was. So it just started and we're like, oh, crap, quick.
Take that edge off. Hurry.
We made some like Jack and Cokes in the theater and then enjoyed the rest of the local musical.
It.
Which I really did love that night because it like brought me back to home, like seeing small town productions and stuff like that. I was like, this is kind of sweet. It was terrible, but it was kind of sweet.
I see. So you went to the Torrance Cinema.
Ha!
It was not cinema. It was a live theater production.
Theater. Whatever. Doesn't matter. Joke still hit.
Clearly, there was no riffraff there.
I'm going to the cinema tonight.
Good.
As I
hate you, Franchise.
Franchise, Matt Franciszkiewicz. What's up, man?
Doing well. Okay. Doing well. Had our little holiday party the other night.
Yeah. Oh, man.
Had some fun times.
Yeah.
The food was outrageously delicious.
Did you guys go big?
Holy hell, food was so good.
We went big.
The food was good. The booze was good. They were just, like, as you walked in the door, there's just a tray of old fashions waiting for you. And I said,
Holy hell, I don't mind if I do.
The best story, though, was they were giving, like, the like, obviously,
so funny.
You have to have, like, drink tickets to get drinks, right?
Yeah.
Unless you pay.
Everyone gets 2 drink tickets.
And you get 2 drink tickets unless you acquire more because you're savvy.
Yeah, it's kind of like a
there
Game
are some
Boy.
There are some deals going around.
Yeah, there's some deals. cut some deals. By the way, we're going to have a few people come onto the podcast today. But the old fashions were like their craft cocktail the night that they were giving away for free. So those did not cost drink tickets. So I got the one as I came in, and then Franchise and I go up to the bar. And I'm like, yeah, I'll take one of the maple old fashions because she gave it to me. Just whatever. And then Franchise goes up and orders one. And she goes, that's going to cost you a drink ticket.
Yeah.
Because they had just ran out.
She was like, we only allotted 400 free ones. And
your buddy just took.
Yeah.
So unbelievable.
I'm just going to get like a whiskey then. Like, I'm going to get the expensive stuff if I'm using the drink ticket.
That was
and
hilarious.
Then I walked over to Harmon and was like, you got the last one.
Man,
I had to use a ticket.
Wow,
I'm so I'm very happy.
I was upset.
It was hilarious.
I was attacked.
Franchise was so bent after that.
By the establishment.
I hear that. Wow, I got a great show in front of us here today. We're going to talk all things quarterbacks, man. A lot of quarterback questions out there. My theory is that all these casual players are coming back and figuring out that they're in the playoffs now, and they actually care.
Oh, I'm in the playoffs. Whoa.
That's definitely part of it.
But we'll get to a lot of questions at the quarterback position. We'll give you some sleeper quarterbacks. We'll tell you about some big-name players that could bust out this week as well. And then we'll get to most damn games.
It really doesn't have the same ring.
I try to sell it there.
I'm just saying.
Okay. Let's start your show as we always do with your top fantasy headlines.
News.
I like turtles. Okay, here we go. Packers privilege is back.
Yes.
Because Aaron Rodgers is back.
Meh.
He is expected to play Sunday versus Carolina. How high on the quarterback rankings do you gentlemen have Aaron Rodgers? Basically, is he a top 10 quarterback? I feel as if that question a lot of folks might be like, oh, well, that's ridiculous. But, I mean, keep in mind, Carolina, good defense, and he hasn't himself played in a long time.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of question marks.
7 weeks.
Regarding Aaron Rodgers and where he should be in relation to some of your other starting quarterbacks as well. Carolina's given up the second most fantasy points per game to quarterbacks over the last 4 weeks, although they are still considered to have a pretty good defense. Matt Armin, we'll start with you. Where do you have Aaron Rodgers? What are you doing with him?
Man, really conflicted because I have Rodgers in a league in which I'm in the playoffs, and it is I don't know because I also have Dak Prescott, so that's like my straight up debate. And I think there's a lot of really good debates about Rodgers or this guy because yeah, it's one like I know this is the like start your studs Twitter is out here for playoff games. Like it's the playoffs, you start your studs, whatever.
And but what about if you have multiple studs though?
Right.
That's the problem.
Or even not even just multiple studs, like a stud and a viable option. And it's one thing when you have a stud, but you have a stud with a question mark with Rodgers, because I don't really typically like to just jump right back into I was going to say jump right back into bed with these guys. Jump right back in with these guys that are coming off like multiple week long layoffs.
Right.
And, you know, Rodgers, we don't know what he's going to look like. We don't know what the game plan is going to look like. It's not a great matchup. It is on the road. There's a lot of questions to ask. I think I might go down with the Dak ship because he's in Oakland, so that's like my perspective on that.
That's pretty good.
But my mind might change on that by Sunday. But I think it's definitely worth a debate, and there's a threshold, and I think maybe we can decide what that threshold is of like quarterbacks to cut off and just play Rodgers.
Yeah.
Gilla? Right. Before we even knew he was coming back, I threw him in my rankings at like 13, and I'd probably push him up a few just thinking about it because Carolina, since their week 11 bye, has allowed an average of 285 passing yards per game and 2 touchdowns per game. So they've had a couple quarterbacks get over on them fantasy-wise. And the thing with Rodgers, too, is, well, I mean, one, yeah, I'm with you, Harmon. Like, bringing back players after prolonged absences is always weird, but this is not every player. It's Aaron Rodgers. And two, he's already done this before. Mm-hmm. Granted, it was the other side of his collarbone, but in that game when he came back in 2013, he threw for 318 yards, 2 touchdowns, and 2 picks.
Oh.
So not a terrible game by any stretch.
Yeah.
He's got a great bevy of weapons. It's Rodgers. Apparently all the reports are he looks incredible in practice and stuff. So I think there are certainly quarterbacks you should start over him. But if you lost Carson Wentz and Rodgers was sitting there on the waiver wire, or you stashed him and have somebody that's in a dicier matchup, I think it's okay to go with him, because we also know like his ceiling is QB1 on the week, no doubt.
Franchise. Right.
So I was talking about this before we started recording. It's for me, it's a situation if you've been rolling with a guy like Phillip Rivers or Big Ben, who've been hot and have kind of gotten you to this point, and have decent matchups this week, I say stick with those guys.
Interesting.
I have Rodgers as my QB8 right now, so I have him in the top 10. But it's also a question of it's a so-so matchup. He's coming off this long layoff. You don't know. He could take one hit and
be out.
There's a little bit of a risk there. I don't think the Packers would put him in that situation if they thought there was an outcome like that.
See,
but
I'm thinking even let's say he's not out, but he takes a big shot.
Yeah.
And he has to be on the sideline for a prolonged time just to get checked out, just to make sure there's not a serious injury there.
Right,
That's kind of what I'd be worried about.
It takes away some playing time.
Sure.
And it's really QB1 is in his range of outcomes for his ceiling, but really, what is his ceiling this week? Like, he's not going to get you 35 points. You know, I think a guy like Russell Wilson or Phillip Rivers or Big Ben even, against New England has that kind of potential this week.
Okay.
I think Rodgers, after a long layoff, he'll get you 15, 16, 17 points.
All right, quickly, let's go around the horn. I'm gonna throw out some big names out there.
Yeah, let's do that.
Cam versus Green Bay, so same game.
Yeah.
Aaron Rodgers or Cam Newton?
I'm starting Cam.
Cam for me.
Rodgers.
Ooh. Big Ben versus New England.
Ben.
Everyone loves Ben.
Yeah.
Matt Stafford versus Chicago.
Rodgers.
Blake Bortles versus Houston. I think Stafford is Stafford's the cutoff.
Rodgers.
I'm doing Rodgers, but I don't have Bortles that far behind Rodgers.
Is that right? Interesting.
I was just adjusting my rankings right now, and I slid Rodgers up to 9, and I have Bortles at 11.
Oh, man. Okay, so
what about Keenum or Rodgers?
See, I have Keenum Rogers at 9 and Rodgers at 8. So
I just put Rodgers at 9 and Keenum at 10.
So, but just to clarify, none of you guys actually have him as a top 5 play.
Correct.
Okay.
No.
All right.
No.
That's a good clarification.
Yes.
Quarterbacks, like I would think, Brady, Rivers, Roethlisberger, Wilson,
Ben.
Prescott, and
Ben
and Matt Ryan.
Like I said, like if you've been streaming the last few
bottom
weeks,
half of the top 10, really.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. If you've been streaming the last few weeks and gotten by with like a Jameis Winston here,
right,
or
Jake
Brisket.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or like a Deshaun Kaiser 1 week, like you're gonna throw Rodgers in there.
Oh,
if you've been rolling with one of these guys that have been hot, just keep rolling
Studs.
With them. That's because I mean, you know, they've been on the field every week. Rodgers coming back from this layoff.
The Kirk Cousins, Jared Goff, or if you picked up Nick Foles or whatever, like that range, definitely Rodgers over them.
Okay. All right. Very good. I thought maybe somebody might be a little higher.
Fabs has him at 3.
Because, right, see, that's now what I'm saying. I think, and I tell you what, I think a lot of casual players, too, would have him very, very high up there. But, I don't know where the hell.
Just some of those other quarterbacks are in such great matchups, though. Like,
right,
yeah. Rivers versus KC,
you know,
yes,
I mean?
Please.
Yeah.
Tom Brady against the Steelers defense that just let Flacco throw for almost 300 yards against them, hell yeah. Like, Russell Wilson, just in general, yes.
Sure.
So it's tough to try and push him into that top 5.
Yeah, I hear
and
you.
Dak against Oakland, like, get out of here.
Yeah.
Those are such great matchups.
Right.
Very good point.
I think
it's
just good to go through the exercise of having the conversation.
No doubt.
This is your decision if you have Rodgers. Like, this is a good thing. This is what you should be doing. You shouldn't just be like, this guy, name, blah, blah, blah. Like, that's not the way to do it.
I also feel as if, you know, this conversation is happening with everyone who has Rodgers, and I don't think there's a wrong answer here. I really honestly feel like, you know, even if you had a Dak Prescott versus Oakland, great matchup, or Big Ben versus New England, great matchup, if you decided to go Aaron Rodgers, I can't blame you.
Hard to kill yourself.
Right.
I can't blame you.
Right.
You know what I mean? All right, we're going to play a game of quarterback carousel in just a moment as well. We're going to give you some blessed quarterbacks and some sleeper quarterbacks for you this week. All right, Kyle Rudolph, walking boot, ankle injury, Vikes at home versus Cincinnati. Not great. Obviously, you got to keep an eye on that injury. Joe Mixon still in concussion protocol. Gio Bernard also missed practice time with a knee injury, but it doesn't sound that serious. Some speculating that it is more a maintenance day.
I think Wednesday, especially for veterans, is typically that maintenance day where those guys, where if it's not terribly serious, they'll do more like therapy stuff instead of getting out on the field.
Might get a limited practice in Thursday, get a full practice in Friday, and then we're off and running. But again, just something to keep in mind there.
Mixon apparently returned to practice today, but it doesn't mean he was cleared of concussion protocol.
I tell you what, if he did practice today, though, he's in good shape. I mean, he needs
it's
to
a
clear
positive sign.
He needs to clear concussion protocol by Sunday. I mean, it's not a situation where he needs to clear by Friday or Saturday. It's as long as he's done and cleared by Sunday, he should be good to go.
Real quick, what do we think about this backfield, though? Because I feel like if Mixon comes back, he's an okay like volume flex, but Gio should ride the pine.
Gio's had
two good games in relief, but like leading up to this, this team had been trying to like just saddle one guy with the touches. It was mostly Mixon.
It was not working for the most part.
I just feel like it's a weird thing for me because, I don't know, when I watch them play.
They're on the road against Minnesota, which is dicey, too.
Yeah, not a great matchup.
I want no piece of that.
But Jonathan Seward just tore them up, so.
Tore them up in huge air quotes.
Right.
Three touchdowns, man. Craziness. I don't get it. No, I want no piece of that backfield, man. Against Minnesota, forget it. I think they'll try to mix them in 50-50, Mixon and Bernard. I was just going to say, it's weird. You know, having watched Gio all year, I just felt like he was the back with the most juice all year. But they didn't want to go to him because, you know, for whatever reason, maybe they just view him as a third down option. But
yeah.
I just felt like he really had a good year this year. But
yeah,
you know, whatever. They want to get Joe Mixon involved, so there you go. Amir Abdullah, neck, expected back this week on Saturday. On Saturday.
Right.
At home versus Chicago. What are you guys doing in this Detroit backfield?
Same thing, been doing nothing all year. Nothing.
Hard pass. Maybe flex Theo Riddick in a PPR.
Well, if Riddick is – if Abdullah's out, then Riddick is – good to go, I think. Then they've seemed to want to just lean on him as kind of their feature back and kind of embrace what they are, which is a team that really can't run the ball. So I think in that case, you can, if Abdullah is out, then you can roll Riddick out there. But if not, then he just becomes like a real
low appeal. If Abdullah comes back, I want no part of this.
Theo Riddick either, because, I mean, a lot of people have questions about Theo Riddick because he just scored two touchdowns,
right,
whatever it might be. But I'm of the mindset, too, that if Amir Abdullah is back, I don't want either one of Amir or
Theo. It all becomes workload concerns because Riddick's averaged 15 touches over his last two games, but he had hit double-digit touches just twice in the 11 games prior with Abdullah there.
Yeah, man.
So if you're in the fantasy playoffs and Abdullah's back and Theo Riddick's going to give you 7 to 9 touches,
that's real thin.
That's a razor thin margin for error. You need him to get into the end zone to help you win.
That's what I'm saying. And remember, Saturday games. We got some Saturday games.
Don't
Set your lineups.
Bears, Lions, Chargers, Chiefs. So there's certainly a lot of fantasy relevant players that play on Saturday.
Yep. Set your lineups.
Yep.
All right, Zach Ertz, the tight end for Philadelphia, clear the concussion protocol. He is expected back on the road versus the New York Giants. He has been so spectacular. It's such a great matchup.
Yep.
And yet there's Nick Foles.
Yep.
Do we trust Zach Ertz? Semi-final game. Well, I guess for some people it could be quarterfinal, but deep into your fantasy playoffs now.
Absolutely.
Zach Ertz.
I think you have to. Tight end is such a mess.
Also, we can talk about Nick Foles more when we get to that game, if it's on the schedule. Obviously, I haven't looked at the rundown. but
we'll also preview that game on NFL Pick'em Saturday.
Yes, that's true. The times change for that show, I think.
Tune in. Yeah.
Anyways.
It's on twice, I think, because there's games Saturday.
Right. Oh, stupid.
Super
football
early in the
morning. Boxing us out.
Yeah.
But we can talk about it more when we get there. But, I'm not that worried about the fact that Nick Foles is under center, but we'll figure it out.
All right. There you go. Tyrod Taylor back at practice getting starter reps.
Hooray.
It is the Bills at home versus Miami. All right, that leads us right into our quarterback carousel. There have been so many quarterback question marks on my timeline, and I get it. Quarterback is the cornerstone, or it can be one of the cornerstones, certainly, of your fantasy roster. And I tell you what, if you get single digits from your quarterback in the fantasy playoffs, it's night-night. You know what I mean? So Tom Brady, man,
true. I beat franchise with Kirk Cousins scoring single digits.
Is that right?
Yes.
Very sad.
Wow.
My lineup was terrible.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, unfortunately, Steven Anderson did not save you.
Oh!
Nor did Tyon Green.
I think it's Tyon.
Tyon?
Whatever.
Whatever. Irrelevant.
Tyrion Green.
He's dead to franchise now.
Tom Brady, he's been a disappointment for 2 weeks in a row. He's taken on Pittsburgh. I'll ask you this. Do you trust him now?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Big time.
Yeah.
I mean, and Pittsburgh's been bleeding up yards through the air as well, which has been a bit of a surprise because, for the first, I'd say, 10 weeks of the season, they were great.
Yeah. Well, they lost Joe Hayden, who's, I believe he's practicing this week,
okay,
coming off a broken leg. I don't know if he's going to start.
I can't imagine he comes back. There's no way.
But since he's been out and Ryan Shazier's out now, the Steelers' defense is not what it was earlier in the season.
All right.
For sure.
Yeah, not to mention, the Patriots have such a good history against the Steelers. They always attack that defense really well. It's just the way that their defense plays, that zone blitz style situation, is just such a poor fit for what New England does really well. So I expect Brady to smash
Since
here.
Our research team gave us this stat, I believe it was since 2007 against the Steelers, Tom Brady's, including playoffs, has thrown 22 touchdowns and 0 interceptions.
Oh!
Some Wizards in some sandy areas project this game to be the highest scoring of the week.
Hawaii,
yes.
Well, it's funny because you look on the other side, then Big Ben is taking on a New England Patriots defense.
Yes.
That just gave up big yardage, big touchdown totals to Jay Cutler.
Yep.
Whoa.
And again, it's one of those situations where New England was just god-awful in the first half of the season, and then we saw better defense really over the last month, if you take away the Miami game. But Big Ben at home taking on a suspect defense, I could see this one being pretty high scoring.
Yeah, for
it
sure.
Should be.
Yeah, I think both QBs should be in play this week for fantasy managers.
I want to get all my assets out there, right, for both New England and Pittsburgh, but it should be a good one, man. I'm looking forward to
it. And Gronk's coming back. That's big.
Ooh, that's a big one too. Carson Wentz down and out. It's Nick Foles starting versus the New York Football Giants, who have the worst FPA versus quarterbacks on the season. Is Nick Foles a legitimate streamer option?
I think so.
Yes.
I mean, I
lower end.
There's some other. I would rather have like Jimmy G or Blake Bortles than him. But I certainly think in deeper leagues, if you lost Carson Wentz and like he was the best option on the waiver wire, it's definitely a fine stopgap guy. The Giants no longer have Janoris Jenkins. They're tied for the league lead in touchdowns allowed to quarterbacks with 26 passing touchdowns allowed. It's an all around solid matchup, and this Eagles team is good. Foles knows Peterson's system. He's a veteran. Like he should. He's not going to light up the scoreboard for you, I can't imagine. He's not going to throw 7 touchdowns in a game again, but he could provide reasonable production.
But did it happen?
It happened.
Fair enough. It did, oddly, yeah.
So I broke down the difference between these two quarterbacks in the Next Gen Stats preview this week, which is getting a facelift this week. It's no longer just like 3 matchups. I'm looking at like 1 from pretty much every game.
Nice.
It's a little more condensed in each
individual
match. Yeah, obviously. The real big difference between these two quarterbacks is that obviously Carson Wentz, like if you just watch him, like how many plays he makes on his own, that really bears out in the numbers that he throws over 11% of his passes the last 2 years outside the tackle box, whereas Foles is just 5.8%. So, like, that improvisational, you know, the big plays I don't think are going to be there as much. But Foles goes vertical just like Wentz does. They have almost an identical 9.2, 9.1 average air yards per attempt. So I think he can still hit this Giants defense for big plays. The Giants give up 123.3 passer rating on deep passes, which is second worst in the NFL this year.
So no Janoris Jenkins. I think Alshon Jeffrey's still a viable option here. In fantasy as well. Oh, you know what we did not hit? Jordy Nelson. What are you guys doing with Jordy?
I'm starting.
Oh, he's back. He's got to be in your lineup.
He's bike.
Yeah, it seems
100%.
You're right. You're right. But it seems too easy, doesn't it? Doesn't it just seem?
He was the wide receiver 5 when Rodgers went down. They have a mind meld. They have one of the best mind. I mean, it's a stupid thing to say. It's not hashtag analysis, but like, when Rodgers is in dire situations, he goes to Nelson.
No, I know.
And he's his favorite target in the red zone. I think I'm starting him. And Rodgers said already this week, he's like, I know 87 still got some juice left. I want to get him back involved.
Oh, man. That's not.
He's already throwing coal into the hype, the Jordy Nelson hype train fire.
It's so hard for me to get him in my lineup, man. I've been stashing Jordy Nelson forever. He's just been back on my bench. He's just been sitting there, just chilling.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I got him in my starting lineup, and I don't know how to feel about
it. Fire him up, man.
It's hard. It's hard. I mean, after it's been what, a month? You know what I mean?
He's
done nothing
forever.
It feels
too easy. It feels too easy to be like, Rodgers back, throw him right back in there.
It's probably true.
It's probably correct, but still.
I mean, those two have incredible game splits when they play together. Jordy Nelson averages like a touchdown a game when Rodgers is in the lineup.
The facts are on your side. But as we know, facts don't really matter anymore.
No.
All right, there you go. Can you play Kirk Cousins versus Arizona, given the fact that Kirk Cousins has just been
This is a really good debate.
Bad.
Because we were discussing this before we came up here.
So the O-line has been decimated for Washington. He scored 9 points last week in standard scoring leagues. Again, we're in a do-or-die situation. It's the playoffs. What do you do with Kirk Cousins versus Arizona?
Well, I have him listed as my bust here for the quarterback. So, look, he's a 5-4 touchdown to interception ratio the last 3 weeks. His highest game fantasy point game was 16 points against
the 5 touchdowns the last 3 weeks.
Yeah.
That's not good.
Not 4 great. 4 picks.
Oh, yeah.
And his highest game was 16 points against the Giants. I believe that was that Thanksgiving game. Like, that's a great matchup, and he couldn't produce there. Arizona's allowed the 8th fewest fantasy points per game to quarterbacks the last 4 weeks. Not a great matchup. The wide receivers are unreliable. The run game has stalled out lately. Like you said, the offensive line is a mess. I do not like Kirk Cousins this week.
I mean, he lost a fumble, too. So he has 5 touchdowns and 5 turnovers in the last 3 weeks. He's been sacked a bunch. His fantasy points have dropped in 5 straight weeks too, because I just think it's one of those cases where the injuries are just mounting too much and he can't overcome it. Mm-hmm. And then you look at this game on a more fine tuned like matchup perspective, like Patrick Peterson's probably going to erase Josh Doctson.
Yep.
And then there's Jameson Crowder in the slot, but Tyrann Mathieu's been playing better of late. And I'm concerned about Kirk being able to stay up in the backfield. They have a great run defense. They cover tight ends pretty well. I look at it and I'm like, how is he going to score points?
Yeah.
Well, you
and
have
that's,
him.
That's my big debate.
Yeah, this is another quarterback debate I have in the Fantasy Live League playoffs. Yeah. I have him. And I picked up Jimmy Garoppolo this week to tilt over that for the next, you know, few days.
Oh.
I don't know. It's not a great spot for Cousins, like you said. They've allowed 128, 213, 139 passing yards the last three games. Of course, the quarterbacks they face there are Blake Bortles, Jared Goff, and Marcus Mariota. So I think it is worth noting who they've played lately, because this was a secondary that for a long time we were attacking.
Yeah. Oh, for sure.
Yeah. Because of just the way their cornerbacks are they're deployed in ways that you can avoid their best one. But even Tremont Williams, like,
he's been playing better.
He's been playing well.
And Tyrann Mathieu's starting to look like the guy of old. Earlier in the season, he was like just looked a little slow, a little off. But watching those games the last few weeks, he's been all of a sudden, with 32, I've just seen him pop up, making a lot more plays, breaking up passes, big tackles. So I just think, like, last week I thought even in a bad game script against a great defense, I was like, Kirk could, like, you know, he should at least get you a decent floor, and that fell out. And I was just – now I'm too concerned in the fantasy playoffs.
And the Cardinals, too, like, their offense is to the point where they're not going to – I don't think they're going to rack up big yardage, big point totals on Washington and then force Washington to chase them or anything like that. So
– this game could be really low scoring.
Yeah, I could see the – yeah, I think just the floor and ceiling debate when you look at it, like, Cousins definitely has – A pretty frightening floor with the way things have gone lately, and I just don't think he has a really great ceiling. So, you know, take that into consideration when you're deciding whether to play him. I think I'm going to go with Garoppolo over him this week.
Okay. I would. Crazy. I honestly would.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
I don't think it's that crazy. Garoppolo's been pretty good.
Garoppolo has been – I mean, he's my sleeper quarterback.
He's been
so
good.
We can talk about him later. But
and I feel like he's probably got a touchdown – positive regression coming his way too, with how well he's played. And he's only thrown one touchdown in the last two weeks, despite all those attempts and all those yardage. Like this could be this could just be a blow up game for him.
Right.
I mean, blow up in that he gets like two or three touchdowns and a couple hundred yards.
Give me some projections here for Jared Goff on the road versus Seattle. So he's up in the clink, up in the Pacific Northwest. Jared Goff, who has been a cornerstone piece for a lot of fantasy teams this season. We'll start with you, Matt Harmon. Some projections for Jared Goff.
I mean, I guess that he's been a cornerstone, but, like, he's been a real just, like, floor play, if that. Like, he's been – I think he's been a top 12 quarterback only five times this year. That is Jared Goff. So he's not somebody that I'm desperately trying to play. And I noted this in the NGS column. Like, Goff has been awesome throwing over the middle this year. I think he has the NFL's best passer rating when throwing over the middle. But his worst game was against the Seahawks with a 60.8 passer rating over the middle of the field. Of course, it's worth noting, like, obviously they have a lot more injuries now. That is the Seattle
Cooper
Seahawks.
Cooper Kupp dropped a touchdown in that last game, too.
Yeah, yeah. Yep.
Can't forget that. I think it was like the last play. It was like a 20 or 30 yard touchdown.
That would have been a big swing.
Well,
I think that would have wouldn't that have won? That would have won.
It would have won
them
the game.
Yeah, it would have been huge. But so I don't know. I'm not Goff is not somebody that I'm like dying to play this week. Mm.
No, I think he's a fine play though, especially because it doesn't sound like Bobby Wagner is going to get cleared, and it doesn't sound like KJ Wright's going to play either. Ooh. And those are two big losses. And the last couple weeks, you know, last several weeks, we've seen quarterbacks do well, even in Seattle. Carson Wentz had a pretty good game against them. Matt Ryan had a pretty good game against them. And then last week, oh my God, I just blanked. Oh, Blake Bortles, like 268 and two touchdowns against them. So I think there are cracks. It's a case where he's solid, but I don't think he's going to be a week winning guy for you.
Okay? Yeah, yeah. I think solid floor play.
Very good. All right, let's get to bust quarterbacks, shall we? Give me a bust, big name bust quarterback, Matt Harmon.
Mine's Drew Brees. I know, like, Drew Brees at home, blah, blah, blah. Real scary to think about not playing Brees in the second round of the fantasy playoffs. But I think this could easily be one of those games, you know, where we saw in the middle of the season, like late October, early November, where against Chicago, he had 28 pass attempts, 299 yards, no touchdowns. Against Tampa Bay, 27 attempts, 263 yards, two touchdowns. And then that Buffalo game, 25 passes, 184 yards, no touchdowns. I think this could easily be that kind of game because I expect the Saints to really roll over the Jets.
They have like the biggest favorite. They're favored the most this week.
Oh, yeah. So, I mean, as they should be. They should be heavy home favorites, which means they're going to be in a run-heavy game script. Ingram should smash. Kamara, it looks like he's going to get cleared to play out of concussion protocol. So those two guys should be back in there dialed in. And I think Brees could easily fall under that 30-attempt mark. And in that situation, you're really banking on on touchdowns and a big play here or there. So I think he's much riskier than you would normally assume of a Drew Brees team playing
at home versus the Jets.
I agree.
Right. All right.
On the surface, it's like, yeah, he's playing the Jets. Like, that should be great.
Done and done.
But
I think they did say on Living the Stream that the Jets have given up the most schedule-adjusted fantasy points to quarterbacks.
Oh, yeah.
Too.
Yeah, I mean, they've been bad. Like, they're not a good secondary, and they're really a better run defense. But, I mean, if the Saints are winning the game, it just could be a situation like we've seen this play out with Brees before this year.
Mm-hmm.
All right, there
I'm
you
scared.
Go. Matt Franchise, you told us the reasons why you think Kirk Cousins could be a bust. We've talked about that.
Yep.
Alex Gilhar, give me a bust quarterback.
I know, like, we've gotten good Alex Smith back a little bit in
a
recent
bit.
Weeks. And,
sure.
Like, last week he had a solid game and he got touchdowns called back, so that's why he finished as the QB 21. But even at home going against this Chargers defense, I don't think there's any way in hell you can start Alex Smith this week.
No way?
No way.
No.
Not against the Chargers.
I mean, they're at home. They found a little bit of juice.
Nope.
Yeah.
Not doing it.
I hear you.
He didn't even have he had like an okay game against the Chargers earlier in the year when they were not playing this well.
Yeah, they're playing good.
And I have serious concerns. We're going to get like a 220-yard, one touchdown, two interception game out of Alex, and he's going to give you 12 points and you're going to lose in the playoffs.
The weird thing about it, too, is that it feels like, and I haven't checked the numbers here, but it feels as if even when KC is forced to chase, it's not as if Alex Smith is forced to throw for a lot of touchdowns. You know what I mean? They'll still, when they get to the goal line, they'll still try to run it in. They'll still try to do different things. And it's not, even when they get down big or even when they're in a shootout, it just doesn't feel like those are the spots where Alex Smith is going to smash. So, I hear that, man, because I think the Chargers will put up a big number. And I wonder if KC will be forced to put up at least in the second half, try to chase that down a little bit. But.
And the trouble is, too, like, if they're forced into a pass-heavy game script, the Chargers have, like, the best pass rush in the league.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So
yeah.
If Smith
and
is
one
dropping,
of the best corners.
If Smith is dropping back there a lot and nobody's open, just good night, Sweet Prince.
All right, there you go. All right, let's get to sleeper quarterbacks. We gave you some big-name bust players. Let's talk about some underutilized, maybe not big name players that could pop up this week. We'll start with you, Matt Harmon.
Yeah, mine is Jimmy Garoppolo, or
Jimmy G,
or should I, my pal Jimmy, this week in the Fantasy Live playoff game. So really excited about that. You know, he's playing against the Tennessee Titans, who have been an up and down and mostly down passing defense. They gave up a big game to the Houston Texans and their myriad of quarterbacks.
Ooh.
As they say. Gilhar mentioned it, that Garoppolo has thrown just one touchdown over his two starts, but he has thrown 37 and 33 passes. He's gone for 293 yards and then 334 yards in those two starts. Like, there should definitely be more touchdown production than there has been, but he's been awesome. I mean, he averaged over 10 yards per attempt in that game against the Houston Texans last week. So he really came through as like a streamer in that matchup, and I think he can again this week. I mean, the weapons have elevated with Garoppolo. I think we've all been really impressed with him. He's only thrown 15% of his passes into tight windows, but he has the NFL's best pass rating. The only one that's over, even he's over like 100, but he's the only one even over 90 thrown into tight windows right now. So
it's kind of amazing because he's throwing to like, I don't mean this to be, but like very small receivers.
Yeah,
like
yeah.
His top
Trent
two
Taylor.
Targets are Trent Taylor and Marquise Goodwin. It's
that's
not
right.
Like he's
totally.
Got an Alshon Jeffrey or a Josh Doctson.
Yeah,
with
the fact
a
he's
freakish
like
wingspan.
109 passer rating on those throws is really
impressive.
Like
he's throwing me in franchise out there.
couple of little guys.
Yeah, it's pretty
but
he's been good, man.
You guys are awesome despite your height, just like those guys.
Oh, thank
yeah.
you.
Oh,
thank
wow.
you.
Despite. Okay. Interesting.
I don't want to incur a violation.
I feel it.
Matt Franchise, what do you got as a sleeper quarterback?
My sleeper.
Sleeper.
Is Joe Flacco.
No, it's not.
It's
yes.
an elite call as a sleeper, TH.
Yes.
Dude, Flacco's
so
cooking.
Look, he has exactly 269 pass yards in each of his last two games.
Pretty nice.
Nice.
4-1 touchdown interception ratio. And those performances have netted him 18.66 and 16.76 fantasy points in the last two games. So that's a decent floor for a guy who was absolutely the worst quarterback in the league for most of the first part of the season.
That's right.
And
not
I
even
think
close.
Some of his Flacco success can correlate with Alex Collins' success. I
that's
think
true.
Him, you know, being more balanced in that run game has kind of opened up this offense a little bit. He's only been sacked, I think, two times in the last three games. which is crazy. I think it's the fewest in a three-game span since, like, 2015, according to our research team. He's had a 97 passer rating in the last 2 weeks, and now he's facing Cleveland Browns defense that's tied for the most touchdown passes allowed, 26, two quarterbacks in all of football, and they only have 6 interceptions all season. So I'm not saying expect, like, a crazy ceiling, but – if you need 15, 16, 17 points to get you through the playoffs,
yeah,
Flacco's
he's a good streamer this week.
Good floor play, yeah.
Joe Flacco.
I know.
I love it.
It's a little
out there.
It's a little controversial.
I like it,
he's
though.
He's been playing well.
Yeah,
a
man.
Controversial.
I like it. Alex Gilhart, what do you got?
He might not be a sleeper as much because I feel like I've tried to talk about him a bunch and have written him up in a few places, including a couple weeks ago the season-saving moves. But, yeah. Like, Blake Bortles, man, he's got a phenomenal schedule the rest of the playoffs this week and next.
100%. Like, if you get out of the fantasy bubble, 100%.
Oh, yeah. Give me a break.
Sleeper. This is a sleeper.
But I'm dead serious. Like, Blake Bortles could be – we've had this a number of times throughout the years. I know the Kirk Cousins season a couple years ago where he was just a monster during the fantasy playoffs. But he's been playing really well. He's had 16-plus fantasy points in 6 of his last 7 games.
Crazy.
Over his last 4, he's the QB6 right now. He's thrown 4 touchdowns and no interceptions in his last 2.
Amazing.
He's got Houston, who's just been injury ravaged.
Yeah.
Jacksonville is a huge home favorite over them. And then next week he's got San Francisco, who has some issues in the secondary as well. So I just think Bortles, everything's lining up for him to stay kind of hot and just cruise into the playoffs with his team.
God, the one thing I worry about is if they get up big, do they just run and run and run? That's the one thing I would be worried about because we saw that play out early in the year, right?
Yeah.
When the season first started and Leonard Fournette was healthy. I mean, they were just pounding that ball into the dirt.
I think the nice thing is, though, they've unlocked some new passing game potential.
That's
with the emergence
true.
Of Dede Westbrook and Keelan Cole because, like, they lost Allen Robinson right away, and then Marquise Lee was getting pummeled with targets, but
right.
There wasn't a lot going on outside of that. And now they've got – a new deep threat, and they've got possession receiver, and it's all working well.
For reals, Dede Westbrook's a good player.
Yes,
you know what I mean.
Tons of targets the last like three or four games.
I don't hate it. All right, who do you want to see play in this year's 2018 Pro Bowl game in Orlando?
Bruce Ellington.
Bruce Ball.
The dream is dead, guys. Come on.
Yeah, visit NFL.com/Pro Bowl vote. And vote today. You can also learn more about how to get tickets to see NFL greats compete live and inspire the next generation of stars and fans. All right, let's get to MDG Most Damn Games. You can find the entire write-up on NFL.com/fantasy matchups. It should be up later this afternoon-ish.
This afternoon. It'll be up this afternoon.
Okay. NFL.com/fantasy matchups. Let's start with those Saturday games, shall we? Again, there are Saturday games. Set your damn lineups. Chicago at Detroit in the Dome. French, what you got?
I think Jordan Howard and Tariq Cohen are both in play here. The Lions give up the most fantasy points per game to running backs over the last 4 weeks, and they're third worst against running backs on the entire season. So obviously we know Chicago wants to run the ball. I think Tariq Cohen's a nice flex play. We actually will talk about Tariq Cohen in our Fantasy Hipsters segment tomorrow.
Hey-o!
On Fantasy Live. So
two
check that
segments
out.
This week.
Two segments.
Yeah.
One today.
Right.
One today. And one tomorrow.
Right.
Oh, look at that.
But that's it on Chicago side of the ball. I'm not messing with anyone in that passing core. Matthew Stafford is like, I don't know. I think I have him outside my top 10. He's like a I want to say high-end QB2 for me.
Okay.
He had like 388 passing yards last week, I think, but only threw one touchdown. Yeah, I mean, it was good, but it's just hard to – Chicago's also been pretty tough against opposing quarterbacks this year. I think they're eighth best in terms of limiting quarterbacks. So Stafford, I mean, you know, there's a lot of bad quarterbacks out there. So if you got to roll with Stafford, I don't hate it, but I'm not too encouraged by it. And then Marvin Jones and Golden Tate, I mean – I'd probably start Golden Tate in a PPR, but I don't know about Marvin Jones.
Is that right?
I
think you got to roll with Jones.
I'm sticking with him.
Yeah, me too.
I just never know with these Detroit pass catchers, man.
I hear you.
Like last week, it was Eric Ebron popped up for like
11 targets,
10 catches.
You're like, what?
Yeah.
What are you doing?
And Tate scored a touchdown last week. It's just like,
I mean, Eron's game was a clear outlier. He had 10 catches for 94 yards, and in the previous three games, he'd had 12 for 121.
I guess it's
possible, too, that they wanted to keep the passing game short because of the injured hand for Matt Stafford.
True.
I wonder if he's a little bit healthier, if they open it back up again.
Right.
So if that's the case, then it's Marvin Jones.
It's just hard for me to feel confident, but, like, I understand why you want to play them. But they have no run game, so they're just going to be passing the whole time.
There it is. You hit it right on the head. So there you go. It's LCH at KC. They're in Arrowhead. Gilhar, what do you got?
Let's start with the Chiefs because this will be quicker. I already said don't want to start Alex Smith. I mean, Kareem Hunt popped back up in a good spot last week.
Yeah.
But the Chargers are tough. They've allowed the 10th fewest rushing yards over the last 4 weeks with only 2 touchdowns allowed. So the volume will be there for Hunt likely, but I could just see this being another one of his 66, whatever, total yard games and being very scary.
Oh.
We're starting Tyreek Hill. I mean, he's kind of, you know, we know he can really go off in your lineup. He might get erased in this game, but I'm going down with his upside. And then Travis Kelce was this close to having an epic fantasy game last week.
Oh my God, he was this close
start.
3 times.
I know.
It was crazy.
Know. And he still posted a solid line. I think it was, what, like 70-some yards last week?
It was okay.
And a couple almost touchdowns.
It was okay.
And it could have just been like a total...
Yeah,
it
could have been a Trey Burton game, but instead it was just, I mean, he still finishes the tight end 13 in standard, so
yeah, I got you.
Probably a little higher in PPR.
All right.
As for the Chargers, I mean, it's pretty much all hands on deck here. The only person I wouldn't start is Austin Eckler, and maybe the ancillary wide receivers, because who knows if it's going to be a Travis Benjamin or Tyrell Williams game, but Phillip Rivers is in a great spot. He's been just absolutely cooking. He's averaged 337 yards per game over his last 4 with 8
Amazing.
Touchdowns and no picks.
Amazing.
Like,
it's been fun to
also,
watch
it's,
him play.
It's so great. I feel like they talked about this on the ATN pod on their Sunday recap, but like typically in the past few years, this has been when Phillip Rivers has been having to throw the ball like 50 times a game and he looks lost and his arm isn't what it is. So to see him still cooking right now is awesome.
Yeah. Well, he hasn't been on his back nearly as much.
Right.
You know what I mean?
That's helped too.
Yeah, you know?
Melvin Gordon, we're starting him. He's got a ton of volume. His 10 total touchdowns trail only Todd Gurley and Alvin Kamara at the running back position. And he's had only 1 game this year with fewer than 15 touches. And then I don't need to tell you to start Keenan Allen.
Yeah.
I shouldn't. Henry, I like this matchup for him as well. And then the Chargers defense, man.
Chargers D, fire it up. Fire straight up. Early Sunday games, Philadelphia at New York. Take it on the Giants. Matt Harmon, what do you got?
Yeah, Giants side, kind of easy to say. Just, I think, you know, you can maybe play Shepard if you want to, I guess. You know, the volume should technically be there if he's healthy, but his health has been such a hit or miss target.
Yeah.
The guy you're going with is Evan Ingram, obviously, has been a volume play no matter what. He's playing really well lately after having a couple of down games, especially on Thanksgiving. So we're looking good with that. I don't really want to mess around with like Orleans Darkwa or anything like that. He, like I said, I think on Monday's podcast, he fumbled, and then Wayne Gallman came in, got the majority of the got more carries, and then also saw freaking 9 passing targets out of nowhere. So no thanks on those guys. On the Eagles side, of course, the big question is, you know, how is Nick Foles going to play? We talked about that a little bit earlier, and I'm still in this spot, especially because of the defense that they're facing. I'm still confident rolling out Alshon Jeffrey, Zach Ertz, Nelson Aguilar, too. I think those 3 guys you can still deploy confidently as you would no matter what. I think Foles is a pretty solid streamer. We know he likes to go deep. We've seen him be viable at the NFL level before. This is not a situation where you're going from like Deshaun Watson to Tom Savage.
Yeah.
This is a situation where you can stay afloat. The issue to me more is just in the backfield where I still don't really have I know Ajayi's been getting more work, but I still don't really have much confidence. And with the fact that they are getting a quarterback downgrade, that does downgrade the backfield in terms of scoring chances and everything like that. So those guys I still feel are really dicey plays.
Yes.
Do you think that the Eagles lean more on the run game against a defense like the Giants?
I think they can, just to kind of keep Foles from making
mistakes and just loading up their backfield with touches and hope they just – the Giants are the second worst run defense in the league. So.
But potentially. I just always feel like that's a thing that's said, but I don't know if it ever really bears out. But it's definitely a possibility.
I think it's definitely a possibility, mostly because I don't think the Giants can score. I mean, Philadelphia. Right. We talked about Philadelphia's offense all day long, but Philadelphia's defense
is awesome.
Is really good. Yeah. I just don't see how the Giants put up points in this game, right? So, and if that's the case, I think Doug Peterson will be more than comfortable handing the ball off to LeGarrette Blount and Jay Ajayi. Right. I hear you, franchise. I think in this particular game, I think they will lean on the run game.
I think it has more. Those things have more to do again with game script than they do with like.
Well, but if Carson Wentz was in this game, they're still tossing it. You know what I mean?
Because I guess. No, I don't know. I mean, I would think they're pretty willing to go into the shell and be conservative. But we're getting into like conjecture and whatever.
Exactly. Arizona at Washington, taking on the Redskins. Adrian Peterson neck sounds like he's just about done for the year, man. I mean, there's no definitive concrete reports as to whether or not he's going to play the rest of the year, but it doesn't sound hopeful. But anyways, AP sounds like he might be done for the year. We shall see. Anyways, Matt Franchise, what do you got in this game?
I think the only players you can really think about on the Arizona side are Larry Fitzgerald and Kerwin Williams. And
yikes.
If you play Kerwin Williams, you're hoping for a touchdown. And if you don't get a touchdown from him, you're going to get 6 fantasy points probably because he'll get you like 60 yards.
I kind of think this is a good spot for him, though.
Well,
I mean, they've hold on. Let me find where I had it in here. He's averaged 4.7 yards per carry. And over the last 4 weeks, the Washington defense has allowed the most rushing yards to opposing backs with 5 total touchdowns.
Fair enough.
You're banking on a touchdown.
I mean, yeah, it's not a disastrous flex play, though, if he's going to get you
the
like
volume.
70, 80 yards. He's had plenty of touches, and
interesting.
It's a decent matchup.
And I think we're done with Ricky Seals-Jones as a thing.
RSJ.
No Blaine Gabbert, you know. Right. And then on the Washington side, we talked kind of about Kirk Cousins in the passing game. The running backs, my goodness. So P. Ryan left the game early with an illness, I believe, last week. He wasn't performing well anyway. And then Byron Marshall landed on IR this week. I think it was a hamstring injury. He was the pass-catching guy behind Piran, so he's gone. So they added Capri Bibbs.
What?
I think off the street.
They added
Bibbs back in our life.
I feel like he'll probably play the role of the pass-catching back if they need that guy.
What a time to be alive.
And then they also have LeSean Daniels, who I don't think is – you know, none of these guys are
not
options.
Even sure that's a real person.
None of these guys are options but P. Ryan, but I still don't like it. It's not a great matchup. Ugh, what a mess.
It's the New York Jets in the Big Easy taking on the Saints. Alvin Kamara says he's good to go after a concussion last week, so fire him up. Alex Gilhart, what do you got in this game?
We have now actually reached the point of the year where we can say hashtag never Jets with Bryce Petty under center. The only player I would even kind of consider is Robbie Anderson, depending on his health, because Bryce Petty pummeled him with targets last year. Would you say Harmony had like
50.3% of Bryce Petty's intended air yards last year?
That's
wowzers.
Outrageous.
Yeah. Wow.
So, but you have to watch because he had a hamstring injury. He left that game last week early, and like it's gonna be real dicey starting a guy on what's probably gonna be a horrific offense with a hamstring injury.
All right.
So that's that. And then on the Saints side, I mean, there's really not much we need to say here. Yeah. It's a pretty concentrated offense. You start in the running backs. You start in Michael Thomas. And that's that, and their defense. Their defense is going to be one of the best plays of the week 100%. At home.
Yeah,
I'm so mad because in my league of record, we do everyday waiver budget things. So instead of waivers starting, you know, coming Tuesday night into Wednesday, you can do them right away Monday night. And I forgot to put in for the Saints defense, and the guy I'm playing in the playoffs picked him up against me.
So smart.
I was so mad.
I'm playing them against you in the Writers Producers League too.
Damn it. Yeah. Well, you had way more fab budget.
I had
than
so
me.
Much fab to spend.
Saved all my fab.
All the fab, baby. Houston taking on Jacksonville. In Jacksonville, Leonard Fournette dealing with a quad injury now. He missed practice on Wednesday. He had formerly been dealing with an ankle injury. Don't know his status as of yet, but I don't know. It doesn't sound that serious, so we'll keep a close eye on that. Matt Harmon, what do you got?
Yeah, I think Fournette is just going to be one of those guys like for the rest of this year and probably like the rest of his career where he just has these like annoying injuries pop up.
Yeah,
like bumps and bruises and, oh, he's on the injury report. Do we need to worry about it? Blah, 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 blah. But I'm not too concerned. I know he's been kind of frustrating in fantasy. He's been up and down. He's been hurt, whatever. But I think you roll him out there. And not to mention the Texans defense has really started to fall apart along with their pass defense that fell apart long ago. They've allowed 139, 198, 102 rushing yards the last three games. So I think you can confidently roll Fournette out there.
Yep.
The big matchup in this game is, of course, DeAndre Hopkins against the Jacksonville Jaguars secondary.
Wow.
I mean, you're rolling Hopkins out there no matter what because he's just been getting – you know, an outrageous amount of volume, targets, air yards, the lot. Like, you're
not going to be a 2-reception on 15 targets type day.
No. So, but if you look at the history of DeAndre Hopkins versus Jalen Ramsey over 3 games, 29 targets, 14 catches, 129 yards. So they didn't really – obviously, like, in week one, they didn't shadow him much with Jalen Ramsey because they have two great corners. DeAndre Hopkins is one of the best receivers working the boundary. Jalen Ramsey is one of the best cornerbacks defending along the boundary. Mm. Again, I wrote about this in NGS if you want to check it out there. But it's just
– what a matchup.
It's going to be a fun one to watch. And these two guys already don't like each other much. So it could be really interesting in that regard. But
Does anyone like Jalen Ramsey?
Jalen Ramsey? His teammates?
Yeah, the people that are on his team. Jaguars fans, like, I love Jalen Ramsey, but I mean, like,
no, but I'm saying,
people
like,
that have to play against him?
Yeah.
I imagine he's, like, a very grating human being to be around when he's on the opposing team.
I said, I just love the swagger that team has right now. It's so fun.
Very fun. So, I don't know. It's going to be a tough spot, and it doesn't help that, I mean, TJ Yates back there, not going to help matters either. But I think you obviously have to play Hopkins. Like, you don't have a choice, and it's the correct move to play him, but it's going to be a tough spot.
You rolling out Lamar Miller?
No. Well, not if I can help it.
All right, there you go. It's the LA Rams taking on Seattle. We talked about the quarterback matchup, but Robert Woods is set to make his return for those of you who own Cooper Kupp. Matt Franchise, what do you got in this game?
I think Robert Woods, you can plug him in as like a low end flex play. When he got injured, he was like on fire with Jared Goff. He had like a couple huge games there. I think they plug him back in and try to get him the ball early. I like his upside, but you never know coming off, like, I think it was a shoulder injury.
Yeah, shoulder injury.
Been out for like 3 weeks, but he was close to coming back last week and they were just cautious with it.
Yep.
So I kind of like Woods. I think you can plug him back into your lineup. Obviously, Kupp kind of takes a volume step back, but I think still a PPR flex.
Interesting.
The one guy I think who suffers the most would be Sammy Watkins, and I think the Seahawks really try to shut him down. I think he had 4 targets and 0 catches against them in their game earlier in the season. Whoa. Todd Gurley's a must play.
Yeah.
Russell Wilson's a must play. And the Rams lost Kayvon Webster to an Achilles tear. He's a starting cornerback, so that could mean more, you know, open windows for Wilson to get the ball to guys like Doug Baldwin. All three, Doug Baldwin, Tyler Lockett, Paul Richardson, scored touchdowns last week. I don't think that's going to happen again. You know, if you're taking a shot in a DFS, maybe you go for Tyler Lockett or Paul Richardson. It's just kind of hard to, like, rely on their variance.
Right.
And then Mike Davis popped up this week with a rib injury. But he should be okay, and I kind of like him as a low-end flex against the Rams' run defense, which is
a little bit
great.
Of a sleeper.
Yeah, a little bit of a sleeper.
I like it.
He's getting the volume.
Tennessee at San Francisco. They're in the yay. Alex Gallhart, what do you got?
Boy, what a game we have here. I think we've
come on.
I think it's a pretty simple one. Like,
it's Jimmy G, baby.
I know. I'm excited for Jimmy G in that offense. I like Marquise Goodwin this week. I don't mind Carlos Hyde. On the Titans side, though, like, does anybody really want to go down with the Titans and their starting fantasy lineups in week 15 in the fantasy playoffs?
You know, it's funny. I've been debating. I just have this crazy feeling they're going to feed Derrick Henry in this game. Enough touches, I should say. Let me backtrack. They're going to feed him enough touches that he will be fantasy relevant.
I can't get in on it.
Met with blank stares.
What gives you that indication?
It's just some other word. Did you get a tarot reading or something? And, like, you think it's in the cards?
You spend too much time in traffic.
Maybe.
Why would you expect the Titans to do the right thing?
He's just daydreaming in traffic, like, oh, wow, Derrick Henry actually going to get touches.
Maybe that's what it is.
It's been unbelievable how much better he's looked than DeMarco Murray, though, but it doesn't matter. I mean, you can maybe start Delanie Walker. This could be maybe a game where Rishard Matthews comes back. He was healthy now. He was one of Mariota's favorite targets earlier in the year. Yeah. He doesn't have to face Patrick Peterson this week, which is great. So
I do want to say as well, San Francisco's defense, I know they've been, you know, ripped apart, whatever it might be, but I actually think now that Jimmy G's back there and they have a functional offense that can move the ball and keep the defense off the field a little bit, it's normalized their defense a little bit. So they're not quite as terrible as advertised. Before it was, oh, San Francisco's on docket. Yeah, oh,
right.
Fire up everybody. You know what I mean? I just think it's not quite that level now.
Right.
Agree. They're still bad. They're just not that level.
They might have a little more time of possession on their side.
Right. That's exactly right.
Yeah.
But other than that, I don't know what else to say about this
Sunday
game.
Night football, Dallas at Oakland. Amari Cooper, ankle, has yet to practice. We'll keep an eye on those practice reports. But initial reports are that it's not looking great for Amari Cooper, who, again, maybe came back from his injury, ankle injury, a little bit too soon, re-aggravated it in week 14. Are we in week 14?
We're
in
week 15. Yeah.
So he re-aggravated in week 14. Matt Harmon, what do you got?
Doubt Cooper plays. Cooper just, God, talk about a guy who, like, just needs the year to end.
Yeah.
Like, just get to 2018.
Yeah, yeah.
Just
yeah.
get to 2018, yeah, exactly. Amari. Like, whatever. Yeah, not really. Not interested in Derek Carr. I mean, you know, you can roll out Crabtree for something of a floor, but that's pretty much it. I mean, Jared Cook is a boom or bust tight end play. We've seen him completely disappear recently. We saw him pop back up last week.
Mm-hmm. Thus is the life of Jared Cook.
Yeah, that is that. Like, shame on us for, like, ever assuming that at some point this year, like there were times where it looked like, oh, Jared Cook, like, might be like a legit every week option.
Right.
Not happening. And, like, by the fifth team or whatever he's on by now, we should have learned that lesson.
Yeah, right.
On the other side, in the Raiders' backfield, we have Marshawn Lynch, who you noted this, Co, many weeks ago, and I disagreed with you, but now it's really borne out. Like, he is heating up as the year is going on. Unfortunately, like, he averaged 3.6 yards gained after close in the first 6 weeks of the season. Since he returned from that Week 8 suspension, he averages 4.22.
Which so
is much
good.
Better. Much better. So that's good. He's definitely looking better. The problem is they just get bumped off game script so often that they can't feed him like last week because the Raiders suck. Like, the Raiders are a really bad team. Their quarterback is playing really poorly. And I don't really expect that to change, even though Dallas doesn't present a huge matchup. Sean Lee was back last week, and he's one of the most important defenders in the NFL. Dallas allows just 4.6 yards per play when he is on the field compared to over 6 when he is not.
That is so a big difference.
It's a big difference.
I mean, the rushing yards allowed, it's almost double when Sean Lee is off the field. So, yeah, he's the linchpin of that defense, no question.
So, and then on the Cowboys side, I think you can trust – I think you can use both of these backs. We saw Rod Smith obviously have a massive game as a receiver last week.
Yep.
That should be in play again against the Raiders. I mean, he's a more risky sort of flex play than Alfred Morris, who I think is more locked in.
Yeah, he doesn't get the touches.
No, he doesn't. But I think the upside is there if you need sort of just a straight ceiling shot or you're light on running back options. I think you can feel okay about Smith. And I think this should be another big Dak game. And, we kind of know what we're getting with Dez at this point. He's probably not going to hit 100 yards. It hasn't happened all year. But he can give you something.
Bold prediction. Dez gets to 100
yards.
This
is it.
This is the week.
It could be. The Raiders are bad.
Yeah, I know. Monday Night Football. It's Atlanta taking on Tampa Bay. Matt Franchise, what do you got?
Yep. So last time these two teams met was Julio Jones's, like, 212. I forget. It was some kind of crazy game.
Yeah.
He went off. Tampa Bay is one of the worst teams in limiting wide receivers.
Just one of the worst teams, period.
One of the worst defenses in the league.
Yep.
But even with that huge blow-up game from Julio Jones, Matt Ryan still only threw one touchdown pass and had, like, 16 fantasy points and was, like, a mid-range QB2, which kind of concerns me about Matt Ryan. He has not been a great fantasy quarterback.
He has not.
So I think you definitely are starting Julio Jones. It's obvious. You're starting Devonta Freeman. Tevin Coleman, I think, is still in concussion protocol. I just don't know if you can rely on Matt Ryan as good as this matchup is.
All right, there you go.
And then, the Bucs lost Gerald McCoy, too, to a torn bicep. So that's
so
an even bigger dent in that defense.
Yeah.
Winston, maybe a streamer. Like, he's not a great real-life quarterback, but if they get down and it's a script where he's passing a lot, I can see him throwing two touchdowns, 250 yards, and two picks or
could
something
get
like that.
Sure.
I like O.J. Howard as a streamer this week.
Do you?
Cameron Brait kind of disappeared last week.
Yeah.
And O.J. Howard's been getting more run for the Bucs. I don't think you can roll with anyone in the Tampa Bay backfield.
Nope.
And Mike Evans he's been sinking fantasy
God,
lineups
he's
for
been
weeks.
So bad.
Even in a matchup where Winston's going to be throwing a lot. I mean,
hello, darkness, my old friend.
You probably got to start Evans just because, like.
Harmon has a point to me.
Bold prediction, this is a big Evans week.
This is the week.
It would be the week.
This is the week.
It's just man. God. Come on, Mike Evans. He hasn't scored since week 7,
it's
I think.
So
everything about him, you know, he has the volume profile of a receiver that should be producing a lot more than 763 yards and 4 touchdowns.
God, it's so
just
bad.
It's just a lot. I think people have asked me what's going on with Evans. I think it's just like a lot of his quarterback play.
Yes.
Jameis Winston's
not good.
And he's his passer rating when throwing to tight windows, 37.6, ranks 32nd out of 43 quarterbacks with 70 or more pass attempts.
It's not great, Bob.
It's a razor thin margin of error. And this just goes to show, like, you know, volume is everything. Evans had 42.7% of the team's intended air yards last year, and like he's still at 28.9%, which is fine. It leads the team, but it's a big drop off. It creates a razor thin margin for error, and there's no quarterback worse than walking that razor thin margin right now than Jameis Winston.
I mean, doesn't it also kind of point to the fact that when you use air yards with targets, that you get a pretty complete picture of predictive analysis anyways of what a wide receiver might do, you know, because he's seeing the targets, but he's not seeing nearly as many air yards as he was last year. And when you combine those two things together, that's why we've been pounding on that this particular season.
Right, because Jackson's like right behind, like Evans leads the team, but Jackson's right behind him, and losing all that air yards volume is a pretty substantial deal.
Yeah, it's interesting to me because I think coming into the season we said, it's not going to impact Mike Evans. If anything, it might raise his ceiling because, you know, defenses have to play off of him a little bit. But overall air yards has just been gone down so much. It's just, I don't know. This offense is dirt cutter.
What happened to this team?
It doesn't make sense. I mean, you look at all the pieces. Whatever. We're going down this rabbit hole. Forget it. Go to the website.
I think this is the week for him. Just because the volume is mostly there, I painted a pretty dark picture, but he's eventually going to have a game. Like, I'm not going to say he's going to go out and have like his best game of the season, but I think he has a usable fantasy game, and if I had him, I would play him.
There you go.
There you go.
Go to the website if you want more info on Green Bay at Carolina, Cincinnati at Minnesota, Baltimore at Cleveland, Miami at Buffalo, and the Patriots at Pittsburgh. All right, let's close out your show with a round of daily daps.
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 Alex Gailhart kicks off.
So I'm going to keep it light and brief here, but my friend sent us a link in this group chat of somebody had a predictive software write a new Harry Potter chapter.
Oh, nice.
So it's for the book. I don't know if it wrote a whole book or this is just a chapter they did, but it was for Harry Potter and the Portrait of What Looked Like a Large Pile of Ash. It's hilarious. I'll tweet out the whole link because there's a chapter. It's like 4.5 pages. It's a very breezy read. But just to give you guys a sampling of how this predictive software spit stuff out for this book, I'm going to read you two brief paragraphs. The Great Hall was filled with incredible moaning chandeliers and a large librarian who had decorated the sinks with books about masonry. Mountains of mice exploded. Several long pumpkins fell out of McGonagall. Dumbledore's hair scooted next to Hermione as Dumbledore arrived at school. The pig of Hufflepuff pulsed with like a large bullfrog. Dumbledore smiled at it and placed his hand on its head. You are Hagrid now.
Wow.
It's hilarious.
Oh, man. A robot could write those books, apparently.
I guess so. I guess so.
So I'll tweet out the link, but everybody should read it. It's a really good laugh because like all the characters pop up.
It's
just super funny.
I absolutely love it. I will daily daps. I finally got around to listening to Macklemore's new album, Gemini. Oh, my God. What a great listen, man. If you're a hip-hop fan, I love it. It's cool. I think Macklemore has definitely stepped up his game in terms of lyrics, in terms of his entire game. It's a much more relevant feel as well. So he changed up his style a little bit. But, yeah, man, it's good. It feels really relevant, and yet it still feels very Macklemore. It's a great album. And I'm a guy that's not a huge Macklemore fan. So I kind of came into it, listening to it, kind of not expecting great things, but walked away being blown away. So I was, I really, really liked Macklemore's new album, Gemini. I think it came out last month, but finally got around to listening to it. It's a great listen. So if you're a hip hop head, give it a full listen. I'll say this. He already has a couple of radio hits, but it's off the cuff things. What am I trying to go for here? It's the stuff that's not on the radio right now that I really enjoyed. So there you go.
Top 40 co.
Hey, there you go. Matt Franchise, what do you got?
I'm going to daily daps the meteor shower that happened last night.
Oh.
Because I've never witnessed one of these. It's the Geminid?
Geminid. Okay.
Right. Yeah, nice segue, right?
There you go.
So basically the Earth is passing through a asteroid dust field or whatever. It happens every December, and last night was like the best night for it, and the moon was like in crescent phase, so it wasn't blocking out the light in the sky.
Oh, great.
And I went out on my balcony at like maybe 11 p.m. and I saw like five or six meteors in about 15 minutes, and it was so cool. They were so bright and big and couldn't
even
miss
in Hollywood. You just
yes,
I
was.
I
like,
thought you drove somewhere.
No, right on my porch in Hollywood. I was like, we're not gonna see anything. Yeah. And as soon as we stepped out, there was like a huge one, and they're so you can't. They're
That's
so
neat.
Bright.
I didn't know that.
So I like outer space type things, yeah. And it was really cool to see. So
and a baby, Matt Harmon, close the show.
Well, guys. Charlie is 4 years old.
Okay.
Happy birthday,
Daily Daps to Charlie, 4 years old. What an incredible life journey he has had.
You're Charlie's a little bit, just about the same age as my kid.
Yeah, unbelievable, okay. Right?
Oh, your children are the same age.
BSP.
Couple of dads talking to us.
But pretty cool. So, you know, he's obviously the only good part of my life.
Oh, okay,
the rest of you guys suck. But happy birthday to Chuck. He's the best dog in the world, you know, and you can spare me your ats.
All right, there you go. Oh, man, what a great show. That's the show for today for Matt Franchise, for Matt Harmon and Alex Gellhart and producer Chris.
But we're even more bootleg today because we have the backup secondary set for producing this podcast from the closet with only four mics. So poor Chris has just been sitting here in silence as we've been BSing for the last
talking
hour.
Talking into a talk boy.
Chris, if you want to yell real loud, mic. maybe a mic will pick you up here.
Oh, man. We got producer Chris in the building. Couldn't get him on the air because he doesn't have a mic. So, yes, we are. We're going bootleg. We're going underground. We're Rebel Radio. So, here you go. Anyways, listen, man. It's the fantasy playoffs. Good luck out there. But set your lineups. Set your lineups.
Saturday.
Good luck out
Saturday,
there, man.
Saturday,
I know
Saturday.
It is the most stressful time of year because, my God,
dude.
Nobody cares more about fantasy than they do right now.
So stressful.
It is amazing.
Everyone's freaking out.
Oh, my God. The tilt is real. Yeah. Enjoy your Saturday. Enjoy your Sunday. We'll see you back here Monday.